Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the show. Today is Monday, February 12th. We welcome everybody, and especially we have a place in our heart for Danny's haters. We're performing great this weekend. Hi, Danny.
Hi, everyone.
What is it with the hatred? Why are people like that? I think they really envy you, you know?
No, it's so
Where
weird,
Where else
too.
Does it come from?
I don't know, because I was looking at my impressions this morning on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Hold on. I'll tell you one second.
She has, like, big data collections, folks.
Yeah.
She's got software. And everything, algorithms.
2,847,155 impressions this week.
2 million impressions on Instagram?
Almost three, yeah.
On your page.
Mm-hmm.
Are you shitting me?
2 million.
You know what? You got to be able to monetize this. Let's have a conversation, okay? you're leaving money on the table.
I mean, but it's so
when
weird.
When people get that kind of traffic, yeah.
Yeah, but it's weird because I get that many impressions, but then you'll go to, like, my picture.
Right.
And it'll have, let's see.
But it doesn't matter because not everybody clicks on the like button.
Yeah,
you
it
know
says
3,621.
Then I'll go to view insights. And this picture
Talking
had,
to the microphone.
This picture had 54,862 impressions.
Wow.
And that's in 8 hours.
Wow.
But I only got 3,000 likes.
Right. You see, so that's what I'm saying. I mean, you don't need a lot of likes to realize that people see your shit. I mean, think about it, like on Facebook, right? That's my main social media there. So I go on there and then I realize, you know, most of the even posts that I like,
right.
I don't click like on them. I just move on because it's
yeah,
so fast.
Yeah, I'm the same way, kind of.
So think about it. Probably 98% of the people that see it don't click on it. It doesn't
right.
mean they don't like it.
Right.
You know, but they see it. That's the important thing.
But, I mean, I click on a lot of people's pictures, too, though. Like, what's
no,
the point
I know.
Of Instagram
and,
if you're not?
And look, but, I mean, you're getting thousands. Well, what's the problem? You
I
know?
Want more, Sam.
Okay, that's what I'm saying, though. But don't sell yourself to the devil, you know?
I know. It's true.
Yeah, I mean, I
deleted all my thirst trap videos.
Really?
Did it for you, Sam.
For me?
Yes.
Not for me. But I'm looking there, and I'm getting, is she trying really hard to get more likes? That's how it looks like.
Yeah, I know.
So don't.
My friend FaceTimed me and was like, girl, no.
Yeah,
and I was like, you right. Let me delete.
Yeah. Keep some things mysterious about you, you know? That's the thing.
I'll try.
Don't need to know you have a tattoo on your ass, right?
But everyone already knows that.
Oh, they do know that?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can see when I wear like
Well,
shorts.
I didn't, so now I know. You see? It could have been a mystery for me.
Yeah. Legit. Sorry, Sam.
No worries.
I forgot you followed me.
So you got, you have quite a few tattoos on your body, right?
I have 10.
Does your sister?
She has like one or two.
One or two. Mm-hmm. So you're more like
Rebellious? Yeah, for
I didn't
sure.
want to use that word, but if you use it, okay.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
I want my whole back tatted.
Really?
Do you think that'd be too much?
I think one tattoo is too much, but so
really?
I'm not the one to
ask.
Oh,
yeah, we had this discussion.
Right.
So you don't, like, you can't rock out.
And my kids both have sleeves, one arm that's a sleeve.
I think that's hot, though.
I think it sucks. But what do I know, right? The thing is this, look, in my generation, okay, people with tattoos would be cast out of society, but not in a big way, but meaning that if you
had... They can't get jobs.
Yeah, can't get jobs, things like this aren't taken seriously. Maybe some people are scared of them because they think it's gangs or whatever. But today it's different because today everybody has it. So even when you guys get hired, it's going to be by people of your generation. So for them, tattoos are welcome.
Right, and you know what? China just banned tattoos in hip-hop culture.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I'm like, so no one with the tattoo can ever go to China then?
No, I think it's probably about their citizens more, no? Or maybe
I have no idea. I only saw the caption of the article and I was like, I don't even care. I'm never going to China, so I didn't read
exactly. Who the fuck wants to go to China, man? You know, my brother lives there. My other brother traveled there for business.
And then he stayed?
But I thought, he can't pay me enough. One of my brothers lives
there. Is he married to an Asian?
No. He's married to also a Jewish girl, and they both moved there, but he's only there temporarily. He's going to move out.
Okay, so he's working
But he's
there.
Been there 5 years already.
That's a long time to be in China.
And his kid is growing up with learning Chinese from the nanny.
Oh, that's cool, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, but it's too many languages for a kid, you know?
No, it's not, because when he gets older, he's going to be very successful.
Yeah, but let me tell you, I mean, at this age, it might be too early because, okay, the nanny and his school is Chinese, right?
Yeah.
His mom speaks to him in Spanish because she's from Spain.
Okay.
My brother is Israeli, so he speaks to him in Hebrew. And then there's English above all this, too.
So can he keep up with all
of that? I don't
think
so. Probably he's only not. 3 years old.
Oh, definitely
yeah,
not then.
No.
No,
it's not going to happen. But whatever he picks up, it will be nice.
I dated a guy that knew like 5 languages before.
Really?
Yeah.
Was that like hot for you?
Yeah, I mean, it was hot. Like, he would talk to me in, like, a different language. But I'm like, what is he really saying? He's probably disrespecting me right now.
Right.
He was an asshole.
Folks, in a few minutes, we'll be joined by a very special guest. Has unique stuff to show us and to play for us. So we're looking forward to that. And so stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. I wanted to bring up the fact that... what did I want to say? I totally forgot.
I have no
forgot.
Idea, Sam.
Yeah.
What did you want to say?
I don't know. There's a lot of things I want to say. That's why I forget, you know? I think about too many things. But so how was your weekend? Did you have a nice weekend? No?
Nothing memorable, no.
Nothing memorable.
The guy I was talking to straight up dipped.
Oh, okay.
That lasted a week.
Is that the only guy you've been talking to?
I only talked to one guy at a time.
Oh, I see. Okay, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's respectable, you see?
Yeah, I won't even, if I'm even talking to you, I won't pay anyone any other attention. It's just not my thing.
Really? Mm-hmm. You see, guys, there you go. Stop giving her a bad rep. She's awesome.
I know.
Right.
And I don't
you've got
ever
values,
sleep
right?
with anyone.
Yeah, you've got values. Exactly.
Yeah, apparently not values that are valued.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you're not projecting who you really are. You
no,
know what
I
I'm
am.
Saying?
I'm pretty straight up. Because
right.
Even if I have a conversation with a man about the sex I'm going to have with you, because ultimately, if we're talking to each other, we're going to sleep with each other. Because who does that?
Right.
Like, I'm not going to talk to you and then not sleep with you. Because I feel like a really big important piece of a relationship is whether or not you guys have sexual chemistry. Because if you don't, see ya.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, if it's
absolutely.
Horrible, I'm probably not going to spend the rest of my life with you.
Right. So you do want to experiment and, or at least try and see whether there's something there.
Right.
Or not.
And even right. if we talk about it and it's an adult conversation that doesn't define who I am as a person, because I'm going to let right. you know from the beginning, I haven't slept with anyone in 9 months.
Right.
And if you're about to get it, I'm going to love you after. Please don't go anywhere.
Yeah, I'm going to fall in love with you, so be careful. Like the story with virgins, right? Don't they fall in love? Sometimes.
Yeah, I don't know. After I lost my virginity, I was definitely in love.
Yeah.
I thought so. At least,
yeah. That's the thing. I mean, it's your first time, you know. I don't know. Did you, segueing from that to the Olympics, did you see the opening ceremonies by
Sam,
any chance?
Sam, that's a no.
That's a no.
I did not watch the Olympics this weekend.
Yeah, wow.
I do like ice skating, though. I love it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not into Winter Olympics at all. I like the Summer Olympics.
Yeah, Winter Olympics is just skating? Or what is it?
Well, no. Skiing, skating, figure skating, snowboarding. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff they do.
I mean, I'm into the skating part because it's just so funny when they fall. You know, and they just like
well,
look
just
so
go
devastated
on YouTube
after.
And watch all those people fall.
But skiing,
you don't have to wait
snooze
for
fest,
it. Right?
Oh, God.
No. So what I'm saying is, though, the opening ceremonies were Friday night, and I remembered they were, and I thought, let me see them, because usually that's like the best part of the Olympics, you know, in the beginning where they have the ceremonies. They had some awesome visual effects you've never seen in your life. They had like hundreds and hundreds of drones. With lights, they were creating the rings, the Olympic rings, in their shape. And they're saying this is the most drones that have ever been flown at one time.
Oh, wow.
Anywhere. So so it was a pretty nice light show.
Where is
and everything.
It? Where are, where
Korea,
are they?
Oh. South Korea.
Everything's in Asia, huh?
Yeah. Pyeongchang or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
None of us say it right, but what the hell, you know. And so that was that. But I really don't care about the Winter Olympics, like you said.
I don't care about the Olympics, period.
Yeah, right?
Like, I just don't care.
Yeah. I don't know. I like the summer ones. It's pretty fun. But
doesn't everyone do that for free? Like, everyone trains, like, their whole life to do it for free? Like, they're not even getting paid to show up.
No. But when you win, you are worth a lot of money.
Yeah, I get that. But what if you
don't
win?
Plus, these people probably by now already have money. because they excelled. Yeah, and they've excelled at what they do, you know.
Damn, so our whole U.S. Olympic team from like 2 years ago got like molested by that creep.
Who?
The gymnast team.
Oh, was that from last from the last Olympics?
No, it was like two Olympics ago.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But this has been going on for years, mm-hmm. though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I imagine that a lot of the coaches for teams like that are wicked creepy.
Yeah, probably. You don't leave a man, a grown man, and a young girl, alone. You don't
ever. Period. Ever. I don't give a shit.
Exactly.
Yeah. No.
Even if nothing happens, people are gonna think something happened.
Yeah, like doctors now go into the rooms with nurses, so coaches need to have like an assistant. That's a woman.
No, that's true. You know,
that's also not a creep.
But it's also like too much. People have made too much of it that you're afraid to be even associated with kids. You know what I'm saying?
I would not.
So that's what I'm saying. People have to calm down and relax.
No, but there are some weirdos out there. Like I just read on, I think it was like maybe Baller Alert or something. There was a teacher who just got impregnated by her 14-year-old student. And she's like, what? Like, what is going on in your head, girlfriend, for you to be attracted to a 14-year-old boy?
Right.
He hasn't even... You raped him.
Right. No, I mean, that's using another human being.
Yeah.
You know, because there's nothing she's going to get from him other than the fact that there's a fantasy that she's molesting him or something, right?
I mean, I don't get it.
What could she fantasize about other than the fact that, hey, I'm seducing a 14-year-old.
I feel like that might be like a mental issue for sure.
It is. I mean,
like that teacher that had
mostly guys do that, and it's sex out of control. You know?
Yeah,
totally.
That's true.
Is.
My first boyfriend ever was 23, and I was 17. Creep.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
My first boyfriend ever. My dad was like, "No."
Yeah, I'd be pissed.
Mm-hmm.
Too.
I stayed with him for like on and off for 4 years.
Oh wow.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's get you out of that mess.
Yep.
By bringing in our guest right now, who's sitting here patiently, and I know he's dying to talk, promising to be an awesome person. We just met this morning, and that's Ilana Zulai. Welcome to the show, Ilan.
Thank you. Welcome, Sam. Hi.
Thank you. So do you prefer Ilan or Ilan?
Elon.
Elon is better.
Elon.
Okay, like Elon Musk, except it's spelled differently, and also, but you're named after the tree, Elon. So you have to remember that. It's just that in Hebrew, a lot of things are pronounced differently.
The pronunciation is different.
Pronunciation by people.
The punctuation
different.
Is different.
Right. So like names are said differently when you talk formally. You know, it would be like Danielle or Daniel. People would call you both of those.
Yeah, and I would be so annoyed if they called me Daniel.
Right?
I'm like, it's Danielle.
Right, but in Hebrew they do that. So some people will call you Ilan, some people call you Ilan.
Well, Ilan is usually in Israel, in Hebrew.
Right.
Ilan is more in the States or in English. Because
but
the,
why?
The punctuation, I think it has to do with the language.
No, true, but in Israel, they want to, if you were on TV, they'd probably introduce you as Ilan Azulay.
Yeah, but you see, if you say Ilan, it's more of a formal, I guess.
Right.
It sounds like you guys are saying the same exact thing, to be honest.
Right.
Yeah,
we are.
Wait, what's the difference?
Ilan, the fuck, right?
Ilan.
It sounds exactly.
You put the emphasis.
Ilan, you put the punctuation on the first syllable.
The emphasis,
right?
Yeah.
So Ilan or Ilan?
Ilan. You see, so
okay,
it's,
so
there
you
is a
like
difference.
Ilan? Or Elon?
Elon is the right.
Elon, let's call him Elon.
So E. Elon
it is,
E for short.
But it's with an I.
Oh,
yeah.
It's with an I.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
It's a little I.
Okay, it's a little I.
Now that we've established that, and the we actually, Danny, we showed him how to pronounce his own name.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, if that's like not having balls, I don't know what it is, right?
No, it's all good.
Yeah, awesome. Well, welcome to the show, Elon.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
And you're Israeli, just like I am. How long have you been here now?
In the States, 25 years.
25 years?
25 years.
Half a decade.
Half of my life.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah, half of my life.
A quarter of a decade?
Yeah.
No.
Quarter?
Two and a half decades.
Decade is 10 years.
Oh,
yeah,
decade
you're
is
talking
10
about
years.
A century.
That's right.
Two and
right.
A half.
You're right.
Two and a half
yeah,
years.
He's been here for two
and
a half.
You got me into that path, too. I'm like, yeah. A quarter of a decade.
And you start believing her.
Exactly.
You start questioning yourself.
Yeah,
exactly.
He was agreeing with
that's
me, though.
Exactly what I did.
You agreed with me at first, though.
I know.
Yeah, so, yeah, but in La La Land, I've been only a year and a half.
Oh, so where were you before?
Boston.
In Boston.
Oh, in Boston.
I've been in Boston for 14 years.
Oh, did you guys figure
out
already?
Yeah, I told them I was from Boston too.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a great place. It's a great
really?
Place.
Did you live like in similar areas? Where in Boston?
I lived all over in Boston. I lived South End. I lived in Brighton.
Okay, yeah. So you're like 45 minutes from where I lived. Yeah.
Cool.
My ex lives in Somerville.
I lived in Somerville.
Yeah.
Oh, Somerville's really nice.
Yeah?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I got there in 99.
I need to check out Boston. I mean, I've never been.
It's a beautiful place.
It's nice, but go either in the fall or in the summer because you would be miserable right now.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, in 14, I think it was 2014, where we had 10 feet of snow.
Wow.
You know? Yeah, it's terrible.
I'm 6 foot, right? 6 feet, right?
Right.
And I had 10... The snow was higher than
that.
Really?
It was quite an experience.
I just flew back 2 months ago, and there was a lot of snow when I went back. I was like, this is a lot of snow.
Really?
Yeah. We had the snow stay there until the spring.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Wow. And here, all we get is dryness here.
No,
you know, today they said, oh, it's going to rain. I'm looking at the thing.
It looks like it's going to rain,
It's just 20% rain. That means we're not going to have any.
No, the sun is shining
behind
the clouds. But
it's going to be raining on Wednesday.
These are not rain clouds. Wait, are you sure?
Yeah, positive. It says 90% chance of rain on Wednesday.
Really? Because I looked yesterday.
That's
going to
be miserable.
Nothing. It's not. You watch how great it is.
Oh.
I love rain. Are you kidding me? We don't get any here.
You need to move
somewhere else,
Sam.
No, but I don't want it all the time. I want it occasionally. I just want four seasons. We don't get them.
Yeah, no, there's no seasons.
That's
here.
The thing here. You can't buy all the clothes.
Right.
Yeah.
You can't dress up nice.
Yeah, like I have like a bunch of faux fur jackets and I never wear them.
Right.
It's too hot.
And, you know, but look, for women, there's still different styles. For men, it's like T-shirt and jeans or shorts and flip-flops or something.
Right.
That's all you can wear here because it's so friggin' hot sometimes, right?
Yeah.
So when it's like that, you don't get to wear coats and scarves
and
gloves. You know what I'm saying?
No scarves.
Coats, things like that.
But you see, but the thing
that are fashionable.
But the thing is,
that's unfortunate.
When I came here from Boston to visit here in L.A., I would laugh at people in L.A. that say, what are they cold? They're wearing long sleeves because my body temperature was accustomed to the Boston temperature.
Right.
But once you're here, your body temperature gets accustomed to this temperature, so you start wearing coats and you start, you know. So
right.
Body temperature adjusts.
Right.
I see what you mean.
Kind of, yeah.
So cool. And how did you land in Boston? What did you do before that?
Well, I came to Boston because I moved to the States in 93, but I guess I moved from Tel Aviv to Kansas City.
Really?
Yeah.
What did you find there?
I don't know, Kansas City. Everyone is really talking with a Kansas accent.
Right.
I lived there, and then I moved to Boston to go to Berkeley, the music school.
Why did you move to Kansas City, though? What made you leave Israel, and how old were you at the time?
When I left Israel, I was 24.
Okay.
I was
right after your military service?
It was a little bit after that. I was I went to Rimon, to the music school there. And
in Kansas?
No, in Israel. In Israel. In Israel. And then I met there my wife at the time. She wasn't my wife at the time, but then, and she was
wife
from
to be, or your future wife. Okay.
Yeah, and we're not married now, but
I understand.
Wait, were you married or you're getting married?
No, I was married.
Okay, so you're divorced.
Twice.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Wait, to the same person?
No.
Oh,
no,
to
no.
different people.
Yeah.
See, I'm in
love's
the same
a bitch,
place,
huh?
too.
Yeah, love's
we
a
probably
bitch.
Have.
Well, if you know, actually, love is not. It's what we make of it.
Yeah,
it
so becomes. Then if that's the case, why didn't yours work out, if you don't mind me asking?
No, I don't mind you asking, but I wasn't, I can speak only for myself. I wasn't in a place to understand what it is that is sanctified, what it is that is really important, and it takes a lifetime to get that, you know. I work with people and couples, and they say, well, how do you know about relationships? I said, well, I messed up so many that
you learn something.
Yeah.
You learn.
You gotta learn. Yeah. I feel you. Yeah.
That's true. So, well, we walk in similar paths. I'm also divorced twice. Do you have any kids?
I have three children.
Oh,
My first wife, two children, they live actually here, close to here, in this town.
Uh-huh. Oh, in Sherman Oaks.
In Sherman Oaks.
Okay.
And I have another daughter, she lives out of the country.
Oh, is that from the second marriage?
Second,
oh, okay. Yeah. So, cool, I've got two kids from the first marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been here 41 years already.
Wow, that's
I came a long here at 16. Time.
So, but maybe we're walking similar paths, although you started on the East Coast. So, okay, so you were going to music school in Israel.
I'm going to music school in Israel. Yeah, my life started with music since I was 11.
Ah, nice.
Yeah, and so it was for me a natural path to grow, but I didn't stay true to myself.
I don't think anyone does when you're that young, though. Really.
It depends on where you come from and your right. society and the stories that you're born into. We're born into stories. You're right. born into a story. I'm born into a story. You're born, and we grow to believe that this is who we are. That this is our self. That right. this is, and we identify with that story.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only a story. It's mm-hmm. only a story. It is the journey is to unravel and to take all these parts away of what we believe, of who we believed we are,
right.
and to discover really
our who essence, we are,
who we are, and it takes a lifetime.
I was gonna say because I don't think I've done that yet. I definitely don't think
you're doing
that.
It all the time. You're doing it all the time, but it's every time a step. It's like you go up on to the 50th floor. Now you're on the 25th floor, and you keep thinking, oh, I'll never get to the 50th floor. But all you have to look at is you are here now. You're here to experience what it is now
right.
and what you take from here. And every time it's an opportunity to see what do I get from this place? How do I grow my perception?
Right.
How do I grow my acceptance to myself and mm-hmm. to the other? And what is happening with my story? What am I unraveling? What am I learning? What did I learn from this experience? What did I learn from this relationship? From my presence in that relationship? And so it's really about how do we make meaning?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, wow, let's go back to the great. Philosophy.
Yeah. Anyway,
because we're going to talk a lot about this stuff.
Yeah,
no worries.
Like, that was deep.
Yeah. But
it was real deep.
We'll get deeper. We'll get deeper. But I just want to first get a little picture of Ilan. Yeah. For those of you just joining us, we're talking to Ilan Azulay, joining us this morning. Body, soul, and sound, musician, visual artist, spiritual guide, sound healer. I mean, wow, that's quite a, you know, quite a bunch of things to do. Now, what I wanted to ask you is, so you grew up loving music, right? Did you know you're going to do something big with music? Is that it's going to be like central in your life? Because I tell you, I've always loved music, and I do to this day, but it hasn't determined my career path.
Yeah. Well, yeah, since I was 11, my brother brought an LP of Mati Kaspi.
Okay.
He's a musician. Israeli
musician. Like, no
singer,
clue.
No.
That's
from way back when. Yeah, no, he's pretty big, like a Bruce Springsteen or
okay.
something.
Okay, all right, gotcha. Yeah.
And since that moment, when I heard his the music and the harmonies and everything, it was like something was open in my heart.
Uh-huh.
And it was, this is what I am, or at least that's what one of my expressions. This is was something that was really close. Now, throughout my life, I went through here and there, you know, but it always was evolved around that
music
in one way or the other.
That's very cool.
Yeah,
and
cool.
The fact that you took the step and went to music school, obviously, you decided I'm going to do something with this. It's not just going to be something I do on the side.
Well, no, I got a pre-bar mitzvah, you know, when I'm 13, bar mitzvah. Pre-bar mitzvah at age of 11, I got a guitar.
Right.
And I start learning from hearing.
Right, right.
That's crazy.
You never had a teacher or anything, an instructor?
No, I bought a book. I still have that book. It was a book with 12,000 chords, and I just learned like that until I went to music school. So when I entered music school, I didn't know reading.
Then you learned how to read music and notes and things like that.
Yes,
yeah. I know. I actually learned first with an instructor. I also picked up the guitar at 12, 13. And, you know, I just loved it. But in the beginning, they taught me all, like, shitty songs. I'm like, this is bullshit, you know, like Jingle Bells and shit. But they're like, well, you got to start somehow.
That's a great song, Sam,
right?
Actually.
You got to start learning somehow. So
I have absolutely no music talent whatsoever. Can't read notes, can't play a flute.
But you have other talents.
Right. Yeah. Do you like music, though, listening
to
it?
No, I love music. It's what I do, like, 24-7.
Really?
I'd rather listen to music. It's like a tie between watching TV and music.
And music.
Mm-hmm.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
You're totally into entertainment. That's the type of person you are.
So, like, I think in, like, 7th grade, they made you get those, like, pretend flutes. What are they called? Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
pretend flute?
Yeah, they're like plastic. They're almost like flutes, but they're not.
Yeah, okay.
Accordion? No, not an accordion.
I played an accordion, actually. That's that thing.
Yeah,
that
it's like the long. I can't even picture you doing that.
I know, and I was so little. It was bigger than I was. Are you kidding me?
I cannot picture you
playing
the
accordion. My parents stuck me with it. What can I do?
But
it
taught
me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it taught me how to learn how to play piano and to read notes.
Oh, yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. But at any rate, going back to Elon, so you do a lot of these things. So you decided you're not going to do any sitting in an office or anything. You realize that's not for you, right? You're a creative soul.
Well, you know, I say for the left hemisphere of my brain, I'm also a computer person.
So I
do Apple. I'm a consultant, an Apple consultant, and
trainer,
and so I have. This is one of my thing. You know, it's like I spread out to on all.
Yeah,
you know, so that's sometimes.
See, this
sounds
is a cool
time
thing.
Consuming.
I think I just made a new friend, you know, because I never met Elon before.
Yeah,
this common friend connected us on Facebook. I invited him on the show. And he seems so much like I am,
yeah.
You know? I mean, I'm totally like techie on the one end and very creative on the other, you know? So that's pretty cool. See, you never know who you might meet.
Are you
know?
Guys best friends
Oh,
now.
Bromance. Oh.
what do you say? We're BFFs?
Yeah, BFFs.
Best friends forever.
Yeah, well, that's too soon.
Or
we have to get
BFF
to know
could also
first.
Mean best friends for now. That's like literally what happens
so
these days.
So it's BFFN.
Yeah.
I, in the beginning, I used to think it's a big fucking friend, you know, or whatever.
Really?
You know?
No.
Or best fucking friend.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be best fucking friend,
yeah.
Depending on how fresh you wanna
right,
you
exactly.
make it, you know.
Yeah. So moving right along, I already know we're not going to have enough time for everything today, but we'll invite you back because you've also done a film. You do a lot of things
it.
With music. No, I know,
yeah.
I know. That's why we're not getting there yet.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to pace us through the show. And,
well, let's talk about, like, he brought, so anyone listening, he brought...
Well, but wait
like
a minute,
cooking.
wait, but we're not done. We want to know how he ended up in L.A. here.
Okay.
All right, so Kansas City.
Then
what did you do there?
Getting lost.
Get lost.
Yeah, no,
but why
I worked...
Did you pick?
Why did you pick Kansas City?
Because I did not know anything about the States, and my ex-wife, she's an American, and she lived in Kansas. Let's move to Kansas, you know,
okay.
and in Israel, I didn't
That's
know anything about
true.
America. The only thing I knew is from TV,
yeah.
L.A. or New York. And I was like, okay, well, it's America, you know.
Right.
I didn't know anything about that. And only when I left Kansas City, I realized how depressed I was.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Damn.
How many years were you there?
Seven.
7 years?
7 years.
That's a long time.
Wow.
Yeah,
to
yeah.
be depressed
somewhere. So you follow...
Well, not if you don't know it.
Yeah, no, I know. But I'm saying if you look back, that's a long stretch of time.
I don't see it that way.
Really?
I don't see it that way. I see it as everything I see, everything is happening for the good. Everything.
I need to have your mentality. Can you get it in my head?
Well, that's why he's here. Yeah,
yeah,
learn
I'm like,
from him.
Get
the energy.
In here. Yeah.
Everything is a perception. It's
yeah.
all about perception.
Yeah. Yeah, you were telling me that earlier today.
Yeah,
right.
I was like,
right.
wow. Geez.
So yeah, I mean, and so Kansas City, you were down, you were depressed
yes.
and stuff. But the thing is, so you met your wife where in Israel?
In Israel, yes.
And she was American, and then you
She's
got married.
She's still American.
Right? No, at the time.
Yeah.
What I mean is, she wasn't Israeli then and became American later. She was
yeah,
American.
Yeah, she's
all
American.
Along.
Yeah, she's American.
Right.
All along, yeah.
And did you decide to get married when you were in Israel?
When we were in Israel, we got married. And,
okay, and then she said, let's go to America. You said, great.
We were going to go only for 6 months, and then, hey, you know.
Seven years passed.
Just
yep.
stayed. What did you do while you were in Kansas City?
I worked for a big telecommunication company.
Yeah?
Yeah, doing computers and everything.
And
my music was... almost completely put on hold. Uh-huh. It was like I went into a different reality.
Yeah, like wasn't you.
Well, it was me because I created that reality. I chose to go there, right?
Right.
Oh my God, you were like one of the smartest people I've ever listened to.
Well, I wouldn't go there. You know, in the Godfather film, I forgot which part, but Al Pacino says, you know, the older we get, the wiser we are. Maybe when we'll die, we'll be smart.
Right.
You know,
right.
So it's
Shit.
Like we learn all the time.
Yeah.
But it's how do we say in Hebrew, Chacham Balayla? You know, we are like we are smart after.
After the fact.
After the fact. We can connect the dots of our journey only after the journey. not while we are at it, because we don't see further than our nose size.
So, you know, but like when you're creating a reality for yourself, but you know it's not necessarily the reality that you want to be creating, how do you stop yourself from creating it?
Well, I see. So it's about self-awareness. You know, we have things that are happening. Then we have a choice. Now, it depends where you are in the place that you are. How do you feel with yourself? How you are with yourself? How do you see your world?
Right.
Realizing that this is all a Monopoly game. All this, you know, you play Monopoly.
Right.
All this is a Monopoly game. You know, you when you play Monopoly, you are totally sucked into it.
It's
hours. It's like you're in Vegas. Yeah. There is no hour. You don't. There is no morning. There is no night. There is no. You give meaning to pieces of paper, which is the money.
And little board game pieces.
And Sam, who is a friend of yours, and right, and you sit across the table, you want him to go broke, and you're fighting him, and you're this is how life, you know, and if you don't pay attention and you are in that space, this is what you make of it. It's all sucked into it. But many people, me included for a long time, not realizing that this is only a game, and at the end of the day, we all go back to the same box that we came from. We all go back up. We all go back into the space of love and connection, which is all what it is based
about. So what you're saying, when we sleep, that's where we go?
No, I'm talking about where we come from.
Okay. So, but you say at the end of the day, you mean every day, or you just mean in general?
In general, when you, if you look at life, if you look at life and you see this as a Monopoly game,
right?
At the end of the day, at the end of the game, at the end of this game of this life.
So basically, at the end of your life, like when you're dead, when you're dying.
Yes, we all go back to the same place. We're all souls in a body.
Yeah,
the body is a cover. Think about you take take a marshmallow, right?
Hate marshmallows.
I'm not going to win here. Well, you dip it in chocolate, right? Yeah. In hot chocolate.
Hate chocolate too. Keep going.
Oh my Google. You put it in and you take it up.
Yeah.
So now you have a chocolate that is in the shape of the marshmallow. So you know it's like that.
Mm-hmm.
You are a soul in your body. You have a spirit in your body, and your body is your cover.
Right. Now, Elon, I totally agree with you. I'm very into soul and stuff.
No, you're not.
You want to bet?
We had this conversation last week.
When? What did I say?
So I asked him if he thought, like, when you passed away, if your soul could be, like, put in a dog's body. Okay. Like, if it travels.
Right.
Because I don't think anyone ever
didn't
really died.
Didn't I say yes?
You said no.
I said no?
Yes.
Okay, well, all right. No, but I believe in souls, period.
No, you did say that. You did say that.
I don't remember with the dog and stuff, but maybe you're right. Maybe one soul can be human and then a dog life.
You know, I
it might just be we me. Don't know I that. Might be the only person.
We're asking him like he knows. I mean, the bottom line is this. Look.
I don't, there is what Kabbalah says. There is what Judaism says. But we have five levels of consciousness. We have the nefesh, we have the spirit, the ruach, we have the neshama, the soul.
What religion is this?
This is Judaism.
This comes from Kabbalah, and Judaism comes out.
Okay. You know,
Kabbalah is the mystical part of Judaism. Okay. So they talk more about souls and reincarnation.
Is that what you...
No. I mean, this is like a part of Judaism. I'm not religious at all.
Yeah.
So I just like learn about this stuff. I don't study.
I'm like you. I'm not.
Yeah,
I'm
a secular person. Yeah, I'm not religious.
Same.
You know, Kabbalah really is it's really gives you the blueprint, if you will, of how everything works.
Right.
And there are many facets to that, and it has to do with the talks about how to relate to everything, and
it's complex indeed.
Yeah,
today.
I was gonna say it seems like
it's
it.
Concrete for everything today.
Right.
And it's funny how science eventually aligns with everything that was already written, as Kohelet said to Solomon, there's nothing new under the sun. Everything has been written. It all happened before, and it will all happen again.
Wow, you know, that's deep.
So, yeah, I mean, it is very deep, and that's why they recommend that only certain people study the Kabbalah and stuff, because it does give you like explanations that some people may not be able to handle.
Right.
Let me give you an example.
Yeah,
okay?
I was like, can you give me an example?
Let me give you a good example.
I wouldn't handle.
Let's say you can say something like, how can there be God if he allows a little baby to die?
Right.
You know, right? I mean, that's something that...
I mean, that's a natural thought that I think that crosses anyone's mind.
Right?
You know?
Nobody likes to see a baby die, right?
Like if a kid
but what if
cancer.
There's a meaning to it? What if the baby died in order for the parents to learn their lesson? The baby is a soul that's already completed its journey, and it's coming to help the parents complete their journey by having to deal with the death of a baby. You see what I'm saying? It's hard to accept.
Ugh,
it's hard to accept.
Like, you know,
how do you explain 6 million Jews dying in the Holocaust?
Yeah,
you know?
Or like how do you explain 9/11? Like,
right. You know,
just doesn't make
like
any
that.
Sense. Like,
exactly.
Why did those people have to get on that exact flight for that exact day?
By the way, I'll tell you something that I was supposed to be on the 9/11 flight. I was living in
Whoa,
in Boston.
That just gave me chills.
I lived in Boston, and I had a flight to come here. It was the 25 flight 25 from Boston to LA.
Yeah.
And I had the ticket in my hand, and something came up with work, and I postponed it to a week later. To
you
the same
gotta
flight.
Be kidding me!
Whoa.
Yeah. Wow!
I literally just got goosebumps.
Yeah,
that's
I mean,
crazy.
How did you feel? You obviously felt very. Like,
did you feel like someone was definitely like an angel was like with you at that like time? I feel
someone watched for you. Or
yeah,
maybe
there was a lot. There was a lot of, but you know, the funny thing is that I pushed it aside for a long time. I didn't think about it a long time.
Mm.
I didn't think about it a long time until recently, in the last few years, that it came to me.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody asked me something, and I said something, and then it's like I'm telling you now. How am I telling you? Suddenly, it was like. Suddenly, I remembered that,
right?
You know, and it's like brought me right back into that feeling of that present at that moment,
right?
But you know, flying a week later was, you know, I flew with my Israeli passport. You know, at that time it was like no problem, everything. But you know, it was quite a and I had a few situations like this where I felt and I knew that there was
you escaped death or something.
It's not about that. It's about I still have what to do here.
Right, that's what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. So you
that's
still
what
have
I mean.
Purpose.
So it wasn't your time yet to go.
Yeah. And you're talking about the baby or the Holocaust, you know. And we talk about, wow, it's horrible how to think about it. So what bothers people and what is upsetting is how we feel about that.
Right.
The
right.
attachments that we have to this right. feeling. But like Sam said, you know, everything is purposefully perfect. You know, it's a baby. It's a journeys of the journey of the baby. It's a journey of the parents. You know, you're talking about the Holocaust. Look what happened after that. It gave voice and it gave power to the people to say, no, we are going to go to Israel. We are going to make that land a Jewish land. We are
right.
going to
and that was the price
rise above.
Yeah,
because this
price
is the first
pay.
Time. This is like. Like one thing about the Jews is they've been persecuted and chased for millennia.
And
right?
I don't really understand that. Anyway,
okay, so but let me explain to you quickly. The thing is that they've always been targeted.
But why?
For that's a question that nobody can answer.
Yeah,
to
like
this
I just
day.
Don't get why.
It's called anti-Semitism.
Yeah,
and it exists almost like DNA in humanity. In their DNA, because it's like you feel sometimes like people don't know why they don't like the Jews. They just don't.
Yeah, it's weird.
You know, so that's one of the answers that I don't think anybody has. But the thing is that they never had Jews never had like their own military, their own government, their own this. Nothing. They've always been dispersed among other people.
Right.
And it was easy to persecute them and to put all the blame on them. I mean, they would still to this day, some places have like blood libels where they tell people that they claim that Jews take Christian babies' blood and make bread with it, for example.
Yeah, well, that's an old... That's
but that's happened a long
that's an
time.
Old classic.
But it happened a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It happened a lot.
Yeah.
But it just shows you the hatred that's always been there, right?
Right.
My bottom line is, what I'm trying to say is that... and then the Holocaust, of course, which was the ultimate destruction, right?
Yeah, it was
and
awful.
And yet, the Jews arose from that, and that's what Elon was saying, the strongest they've ever been.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now there's no... no way that Jews will ever be exterminated again.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah.
So if that, maybe that was the price we had to pay. I think that's what you were trying to say.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's picking up on this point towards the end. But you look at the history and how things happened. Look at the 67 war and all these kind of things that you ask yourself, how could an army of a few thousands overcome
armies of hundreds of thousands.
Hundreds of thousands.
Yes.
Hundreds of thousands. And you have here, I mean, there are testimonies also from the brigadiers of the Syrian armies about mm-hmm. what they saw, that they saw angels, and that they saw thousands of armies, thousands of almost like angels that are standing on the Israeli side that told them to stop. I mean, this is a recorded thing. This is not something that was... somebody think that happened, but you have here more. You have here the connection to the source, the connection to the source and understanding. Not knowing, there is the knowledge, there is the understanding, and then there is the actual bringing the spirituality down into the Gashmiut, into the materialistic world. So there is a line of connection that without this spiritual connection, there is not going to be anything.
Yeah, right. You know? Yeah, and I can hear that.
And this translates into everybody's life, yours, mine, Sam's, everybody on the street. It's just how is your perception about this? And to get to a perception, to a certain perception, it is a process of experience. It is a process of experiencing and uncovering and realizing what is, not what is and how I feel about it, but just what is, without any emotional attachments.
Right.
Yeah,
any emotional attachments, because all that is a human condition, the emotional attachment, the judgments, all these kind of things. You know, Kabbalah says you want the happiest life, get rid of judgments. Mm. The first is to get judgment out of yourself. Yeah. Judging yourself, you know. If I may, there was.
I just want to, before we go on, I want to let you know we only have 8 minutes left.
Oh,
you brought stuff with you. No, you're obviously welcome back another time because we haven't even done any talking at all.
Literally, like,
really,
we got
to
nothing.
Yeah, we haven't got to anything because when you get someone smart and talented,
it's like conversation.
An hour's not enough.
Yeah, it's
exactly.
Not okay.
So, but you brought some stuff with you, and I don't want it to be for nothing.
Yes.
So you brought the guitar and you brought some other stuff. Tell us what you have.
Well, I work with people on shifting perceptions. I love helping people, and one of the modalities of shifting perception and looking at yourself is sound. Sound. We are made of sound.
Yeah.
We are made of frequencies. Each part of your body has a frequency. Your heart, your liver, your kidney, your brain.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I work with Tibetan bowls.
Yeah.
I work with music. I will work with guided imagination.
Yeah, you can help me. I need it.
And so what I have here are Tibetan bowls. And these Tibetan bowls are made out of 7 metals. Each metal has a different frequency that corresponds to each energy system in your body.
Okay.
And each organ of your body.
Mm-hmm.
The sound is the ultimate medicine because we are created of it, so the world is created with speech,
right?
And so we're sound, and it works on the emotional level and on the cellular level. So if energy doesn't flow through a certain part of your body, and it's stuck, sound will tell me or will bring to the front what is stuck in you, whether it is energetic or something. Feel you're going through something, or you have some physical.
Okay, that's really weird that you say that, because about 3 months ago, I went to a psychic with my friend. She was getting a reading. I was not. And when I went in, she asked if both of us were getting a reading. I said no. And then she freaked out, and she told me I had to leave. And I go, why? She's like, you have a wicked bad energy to you. I can't even do her reading with you in the room. And I got super freaked out. But this weekend, I had my guy friend drop off his dog because I was dog sitting, and he's Lebanese, and he looked at me and goes, hey, I don't want to be rude, but there's a really bad energy around you. It's not you. You have great energy, but there's something traveling with you that's why bad things keep happening to you.
Yeah, that is what we bring up, because it is not about you. We are made out of pure contracted down source.
Right. Right.
So show
but,
us.
But
show
we,
us
but, really. We, but yeah. we pick up on and but we can talk yeah. about this. We pick
okay,
up
so,
on energy.
Mm-hmm. So you got you're holding what? You're holding a so bowl, so a I'm metal holding, bowl.
So I'm holding a bowl mm-hmm. that is that this particular bowl is tuned for your heart.
Okay.
And it has a certain frequency, and when we strike that now. Because of the mic, you might hear the overtones. So the difference between this and crystal balls, for example, is that the metal balls also have overtones, just like in... so it has... Best way. Let's play that.
Wow, I feel it in my heart.
So you feel that.
I didn't feel anything.
No?
And yeah. Oh, my God, there's something wrong with me. I know it.
No, relax.
Just let the sound... Just let the sound penetrate your chest. And let the vibration and the sound go through your ears. And you can feel that in your body. Well, maybe something is wrong with you.
Yeah, there is something wrong with me.
I think something is wrong with me.
I don't know. Listen, you have to really.
I mean, it sounds beautiful.
No, it is
focused.
So it is a process. It is not something that it is like.
I feel like maybe if like I was in a, like a room by
let
myself.
Me do
yeah,
let me
like
do something.
Meditate.
Else. Give me your
shit,
hand.
You know?
Give me your
okay.
hand. Put your hands up here.
Okay.
Okay. So what I'm doing here, I'm putting it on
her. Okay. So now she's holding the bowl.
She's holding the bowl.
Okay.
Now, drop your hand. So your hand.
Drop
is,
it. Okay.
Yeah.
Is that good? That I can feel.
You can feel the vibration.
Yeah, 110%.
So you feel the vibration, and as we go through a session, and as we go through that, we bring, you come to a place where your energy is all inside you,
yeah.
stays inside.
Right.
Because many times what happens, our energy spreads outside.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I can feel that for
exactly.
sure.
Exactly. Wow. And then you come to a place where you are in a certain vibrational quality that
right.
then we can start peeling and talking and going into you. So I'll help you see your own, the door to your own jungle.
Oh my God, I want to do that.
Very
I really
cool.
do.
Very cool. Listen, we only have about 3 minutes left.
That's crazy.
So that's that.
That's awesome. You see, now that's something you don't see every day or
no.
hear every day for sure. How did you get into it, Elon?
Well, coming from music, it's natural, but when I was living in Boston, I started about 8 years ago. I started my really diving into my own journey
uh-huh.
of awareness and meaning making, and
yeah.
And then I met the sound teacher. It was really really great sound teacher, and then it was it felt natural. You
wow.
know,
yeah.
So when I go to sleep, you know, I would
yeah, huh? So this is your path. This is your journey.
It is an expression.
Right.
It is one of
right.
them. You know, it is ultimately it's everything. Everything comes into a place of helping people, connection. You know, this is the thing that I notice about LA, that there
yeah.
people are yearning for connection, and yet the actions are all coming from isolation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it is burning in me. You know, when we talk about this, that it is cultivating connection from a place of love, not fear.
Right.
And these are the two opposite things. And then the question that I will leave for everybody, does darkness exist, or is it just
the absence of light?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, there look
you
at
go.
You finishing each other's sentences.
Well,
like,
I'm telling you, bro.
The
we
new
are
best
so
friends
we
are
BFFs.
You are.
Oh, bromance. Well, Elon Azulay, you're fascinating, and I invite everybody to stay tuned for the sequel. Coming up
mm-hmm.
in maybe a few days, we'll have you come back in.
Yeah.
Tell people how they can find you, find out more about you. We haven't even talked about your movie. So, but in the meantime, if people want to get a hold of you, social media, website.
So on website is Elon Azulay. It's ilanazoulay.com. Or on Facebook, it's Body Soul Sound. Facebook/ Body Soul Sound, and you can find me through there, or also on Facebook. I have.
Do you know that your voice could be like the voice of like you know that late night when it's like okay and
right? No, he's got a definitely
like a very
radio
like
voice
distinct
for sure.
Yeah,
low like bedtime voice.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
you mean to tuck you in?
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
It's a, it literally sounds like.
Yeah,
if
you
I put
should
on a radio
see like a nighttime DJ. Yeah, for sure. All right, everybody. Elon, thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you more in a few days. He even brought his guitar. He brought everything.
And we didn't get to it.
We didn't even get to it. And we don't even know what happened after Boston anyway. So you're coming back. All right, everybody. Okay. Thank you all for listening. Danny, thank you as always. See everybody tomorrow.
Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.